Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 2nd of June, 2021. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. My guest today is Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Hello. How are you?
I'm well. A little weirded out still that it's June, but you know.
It's June right. And it's Wednesday. Cool.
Yeah.
Everyone keep me up.
we've done the important part as far as Charlotte's concerned. So now, we're good. Goodbye, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I would like to talk to you, Charlotte, about a really excellent wrap-up that you did of the Apple versus Epic trial and Apple v Epic Games. I don't whatever the official term for it is.
Thank you.
The court case portion of the program has come to an end. They're all done being in court, and now we're just waiting for the decision to come back from the judge, right?
Sure.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't know what I have to confess. My expertise in the U.S. legal process doesn't tell me. I assume this can be appealed in a magnitude of ways, whatever we learn, whenever we learn it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is caveated with that. But we have got through quite an important bit, including Tim Cook taking the stand.
Yes. Anyway,
that was interesting itself. We can come to that. But I think we should start with Craig Federighi.
All right.
Who kind of said some quite interesting eyebrow-raising things when he took the stand.
I thought so as well.
Right. So he said, "We have a level of malware on the Mac that we don't find acceptable."
Well, okay, but what level would that be? You know, any?
No. Well, I think as a standout quote, that's quite interesting. The Apple software chief saying, "We have a level of malware on the Mac that we don't find acceptable." Mm-hmm. And he said the apps downloaded from the internet contain hidden malware and that is regularly exploited. So you could easily read into that. Apple doesn't think that Mac security is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. A bit freaky for those of us who use a Mac and kind of really trust them. Anyway, what it actually really was a kind of legal strategy. His point was that look at what's happening on the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile systems are much even more valuable target for hackers and cyber attackers.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, and he indeed used the phrase much more attractive market. And therefore, that is the justification for iOS having such tight, you know, systems of entry, such mm-hmm. tight security, you know, why Apple controls so much of the ecosystem. That was his justification. So I thought that was both kind of made me go, ooh, Craig said what? And then also interesting.
Very.
So that was part of their strategy, because as we've discussed before, Apple's whole thing is we keep this space safe and clean and nice and tidy, and in return we take some money, and you developer, in this case Epic Games, but it could be any developer,
mm-hmm.
Get the benefit of the space that we keep nice and safe and clean.
Yeah.
And people going into that space trust the stuff they download from it. We know that's been the basis of Apple's argument. So that has been going on. And then after that, Tim Cook, as I said, took the stand. Apparently, he's never taken the stand as Apple CEO in any kind of court proceedings, which is interesting.
Yeah. When I saw he was taking the stand, I wondered about it because I hadn't recalled that. And so,
no, I mean, it
turns out
a big deal.
Yeah. Turns out there's a reason I couldn't remember that he had ever taken the stand in any of the cases that we knew about. And I just sort of assumed, you know, Apple v. Samsung went on long enough that everybody would have ended up having to talk to them eventually. So, yeah, I didn't think about it too much. But, yeah.
So some of the things he said is he was asked, basically, because a thing to note about this case is it's really being presided over by one judge.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't put to a jury.
Correct.
And so she had the ability, Judge Rogers had the ability, as I understand it, to ask questions and so on. And she kind of quizzed Tim Cook about whether opening up the ecosystem would mean lower prices for consumers. Tim Cook said, if you allow people to leak out like that, we would in essence be giving up our total return, and he meant on their intellectual property.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I know it seems like a few notable things came out of this. I'm not sure. Like, what were the things that stood out to you specifically would be the thing that I would
I think, first of all, there is a significance in Tim Cook actually appearing at one of these things.
Yes.
Apparently, Judge Rogers was not particularly convinced by his case. That she said the gaming industry seems to be generating a disproportionate amount of money relative to the IP that you are giving them and everybody else. In that sense, it's almost as if they're subsidizing everybody else. That was kind of could be seen as a relatively sympathetic argument to Epic and the wider gaming industry. Tim Cook replied to that: "We need a return on our IP. We have 150,000 APIs that we create and maintain, and numerous developer tools, and the customer service piece of dealing with all those transactions."
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder how much credit Apple gets for that piece of it. And the reason that I wonder is because I think a lot of people don't realize how much admin there is, I guess, around the transactions in the App Store. The card that you have on your account is rejected, or somebody paid and it was unintentional and you want to file a refund, and or you hated it and you want to file a refund, you know, that sort of thing. I've wondered if sometimes that gets overlooked because nobody has to really do that.
Yeah, and throughout the case, this is the point Apple has been trying to make. People just see Apple, this enormous company that sells bazillion iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you're right that people don't appreciate the kind of maintenance and so on that goes into an ecosystem like iOS.
Yeah, and I wonder if that piece of it gets overlooked, and I wonder if sometimes it gets... not misrepresented, but sort of dismissed, because nobody realizes how much of a resource suck that sort of thing can be, because you're not really getting anything out of like filing a refund or letting someone know that their transaction didn't go through. Sure. Or, you know, that kind of stuff. And the administration around that, because nobody wants to be the person who deals with the credit card company. I'm here to tell you.
Yeah. And people don't realize what a burden that takes off developers, and like how much better it is for developers that's automated and so on. Mm-hmm. So I think there is all of that. And that has always been Apple's argument throughout this. Now, of course, we can debate whether 30% in the first year is that in terms of subscriptions, or, you know, 30% of a transaction is an appropriate amount for that for the amount of work Apple puts in. The argument against Apple is that there's not that many options, so that therefore they can basically set the prices they want, because people want to be on iPhones, because developers want to be on iPhones.
Yeah.
So this is essentially it boils down to that. What is the amount Apple is charging appropriate and fair is it operating in a competitive way in a competitive market? And that's really what it boils down to, because, as we say, Apple is making the case that it is putting in the work to maintain this ecosystem that benefits developers.
Mm-hmm. I find it interesting, like, mostly because it never felt like Epic's problem was that Apple wanted a cut. Like, well, I misspoke. It never struck me that Epic thought Apple wanting a cut was fundamentally unfair. It's that they don't like how big the cut is. And if they had just stuck to that line, I think they would have gotten a lot more support, even after they, you know, raised some shenanigans over, you know, like, we're going to do this so that we get thrown out of the App Store, so that poor us, we're thrown out of the App Store, et cetera, et cetera. And I think if they had just gone, 30% is high and we'd like that to change the end, yeah, I think they probably would have gotten a lot more support for what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, relatively early in the case, we learned that Phil Schiller, who now runs the App Store, mm-hmm. Thought that, you know, questioned whether the 70-30 split was right and sustainable. He apparently sent an email to services chief Eddie Q asking whether we think our 70-30 split will last forever. He said he was a staunch supporter of the fee, but he didn't think it could remain unchanged forever. He actually proposed it becoming 25 or 20% if the App Store started generating annual profits, and that level could sustain $1 billion of profit.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, clearly these discussions have happened inside Apple, and they're happy at the moment with this level. But, you know, that was one of the many various emails and things we learned throughout this case. And as you kind of hinted at the beginning, this is not exactly, I don't think, going to be the end of the road. I simply cannot see that the judge is going to give her ruling and everyone's going to go home and that will be that.
No. What? This is almost automatically going to get appealed, I think.
There's that element to it, and I'm inclined to agree with you. As I said earlier, I don't know quite how your judicial system and appeals works, but I assume there is some mechanism to do that, and that will be the case.
Yeah. Generally, if you're in front of a judge, and there's a V in the middle of the matter that you're in front of the judge for, by and large, that is a thing that you can appeal. I haven't dug into the specifics of this. I am not a lawyer. Charlotte is not a lawyer in any country, this one or hers. So we're not 100% on that.
I think that's got to be right.
That's the piece of it. I'm pretty sure that anyone that wants to, in this particular instance, like, whoever loses is probably, like, almost automatically going to appeal. They probably have all the paperwork written and are just waiting to find out, you know, both sides have it all done and they're just waiting to find out which of them gets to file it, you know.
There's other elements to this beyond just the pure legal element. Is there's the political element, because politicians have made it clear that they are watching this trial and watching this case, both in the US, in the EU, and so on, and will obviously respond and maybe put legislation forward based on the outcome of this case. And it will affect other big tech firms as well. You know, Google, you know, there's a bit more flexibility in how you get stuff on Android devices, but they're still operating a store, they're still taking commission, so on and so forth. Like, they care about this case too. And obviously, were Apple to lose either, you know, ultimately, that's a huge shift in the business model that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly as it's tried to do more in the services space.
Yeah. The Apple that is being taken to court over this is very different from the Apple that even initially announced the App Store, even before, you know,
sure.
I mean, absolutely different than the company that launched the iPhone, but even worlds different. The App Store is worlds different than it was then. Yeah. And like the things that Apple is offering for people to pay for is vastly different. Yeah. There was basically no service that Apple was offering you when the App Store launched. iCloud storage, like that was about it. And that's kind of where that has remained. But all these other things have come into being since that initial, like, we have an App Store and you can put an app in it and we get 30% of what you make, the end, drive through, you know?
Yeah. You know, we've gone through this we've been over this and been watching this develop, as you say, from the spat that led to Epic Games leaving the App Store and, you know, doing that very clever 1918 Fortnite video.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So this is, you know, this has been going on a while. It will go on a while. But I think it's important that as consumers and never mind journalists and people who analyze this stuff, we kind of follow the outcomes, because it is going to matter. Whenever the ultimate outcomes happen, it will have very big consequences for the tech industry. You know, will chunks of Apple have to be partitioned off in some way? I truly don't know, but it's Epic Games obviously wanted this fight. and it yes. wanted this fight for a reason. Spotify cares about this fight for its own reasons. You know, mm-hmm. there's a whole coalition of activists raising these kind of concerns.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens that the fight that we've just watched is in court is between Apple and Epic, but
there's a lot of people who are very interested spectators, as we are, but they're interested in it for their own financial reasons, as opposed to the other stuff that, you know, we're interested in it because we're interested in the company, and other, you know, a lot of other people are interested in it for how this is going to impact their business and things like that. And, you know, I sort of wonder, because I wondered this at the time, basically how Apple came to the 30% number. And that was sort of the thing I was hoping we would find out from this, is that Apple went through a bunch of studies on the App Store, or has gone back and revisited, like, this is how much we make off the App Store, and this is how much of that money goes back into, you know, paying for app reviewers and paying for the people who write the App Store stories and paying for the people who process the refunds and answer the customer service requests, you know, when you hit report a problem on your Apple receipt and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So,
and I was sort of hoping we'd see, like, you know, we did this, and, like, we're not making money on the App Store, you know?
So, we did see a bit of that when the companies first put their legal arguments together. So Apple said that its 30% commission isn't, obviously it said it isn't anti-competitive, and that it's a typical fee across other mobile and online platforms. It said it argues that taking a share of the revenue is justified because it invested billions of dollars in developing the proprietary infrastructure of the App Store and iOS. You know, that includes things like software development kits, APIs. The submission said Epic has benefited handsomely from its contractual relationship with Apple.
Sure.
So Epic has used Apple's proprietary SDKs and thousands of proprietary APIs to develop games for iOS users. So, yeah, that's really what Apple's argument has boiled down to. You're right, we don't have specific specifics on how it came to those numbers, but Apple has been pretty clear about why it thinks that number is justified, and that can point to other people. Name it. I'm sure it's the same in the Play Store, isn't it? In Google Play Store.
Yeah.
Who operating in the same way with the same numbers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that is what it comes down to. Now, there's a slight chicken and the egg situation. Like, did everyone copy Apple? Like, who set the market rate? You know.
And that was sort of what I wondered about it, was how that happened, because, like,
the fact that we've seen emails from Phil Schiller saying, oh, guys, how long is this going to last?
Yeah, that seems steep, you know, or whatever it was. And I'm curious, because I really feel like whatever happens with this, the thing that I think would be the most interesting to have happen is if Apple came out, let's say next week, for example, as they talk to a whole bunch of developers who are very interested in what Apple has to say, and said, you know, we're going to move it to 20%, 25%. It's going to be 25% instead of 30, and it's going to be 25-15 for subscriptions, which, by the way, that's one of the big changes. There were no subscriptions in the App Store initially, when it first rolled out. There weren't, for a long time, there were no subscriptions. So,
and we should point out that smaller companies do not pay the 30%.
Right.
They've started to tier that as well.
Yeah. And I think that's also interesting. And I think part of that is in response to this kind of stuff. Because they're around, because, like, a company like that, you know, if you get 10 downloads a year at $1 a piece or whatever, like, you're a rounding error. You know, if you have 1,000 downloads at $1 a piece, you're a rounding error to Apple at that point, even.
Sure.
So, I think it'll be interesting to see where this shakes out. It can be a long time. I don't know. I know the judge said it would take a while. I don't know what exactly that's going to mean.
What does that mean in judgment? Well,
in timeline terms, but yeah. So when we find out, we will let you know about it here. And Charlotte, I hope you'll come back and help us make sense of the rest of it once we get a ruling.
I will try. I suspect we're going to, as I say, we're going to have to dissect a lot at a lot of different points, but it's hugely important.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where this comes down, mostly for the fallout, which, you know, probably won't be anything concrete at first because there will be an appeal. So when we get it all sorted out, as we wade through it, we will do our best to decode all of it for you. Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.